Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everybody, to the Prepared Mindset Podcast. I am your host, Austin, and this week got another discussion for you guys, as we do week to week. You guys can tune in here. We try to keep it fresh. We try to keep the topics coming. Sometimes it's guest interviews. Sometimes it's a topic. Sometimes it's a discussion with the team here. We try to, you know, change it up. This is your first time checking us out. Welcome. If you're returning, appreciate you guys for coming back and hearing what I have to say. Honestly, what I have to share, my thoughts, my feelings, some of our guests, you know, whatever brought you here, we're happy to have you guys. You know, we're a couple weeks out now. It's actually 2 weeks. At the time of this recording, we are 2 weeks out from our presidential election, and I'm sure it brings a whole lot of thoughts and feelings. You know, John and I talked about it last week in our discussion around trying to prepare, trying to get ready for what we think is going to happen, what we consider as realistic possibilities of what, you know, what could happen. And we think back, right? We think back to what happened in 2020 and everything that we all lived through. I'll never forget it, not because of the reasons you would think. I got sick on election night of 2020, and maybe that was, or I'm sorry, yeah, it was 2020. Maybe that was a sign of things to come, right? We were in COVID lockdown, and I got COVID. I was getting sick with COVID. I was getting super just like run down feeling and really flu-ish. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, this time of year, at least here in Michigan, we have some pretty drastic temperature swings back and forth with the fall weather. That's just how it goes for me. So I sometimes my sinuses act up and I don't feel well. Went to bed, like bundled up, like I'll you know, sweat it out, whatever. I'll break the fever. Did not break the fever, had COVID, and it was absolutely miserable. I will never forget it, mostly because that was a Tuesday. So I spent like the next 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days, at work manning a 1-800 number for a project that I got voluntold to do. So it brings back all kinds of really just awesome memories. It was almost like a sign from God that bad times were ahead. And they have been. It's been a weird time in this country. But what I want to talk about this week is something that we touch on, we continue to touch on. I think it can't be really overstated, but I think it's important to come at it from a variety of angles, a variety of perspectives and approaches. We're going to talk about like getting in where you fit in, you know, how to contribute. We're going to talk about community, really, because I think when people think of community right now, we think of how you're going to help people around you train up. You're going to teach them how to use radios. You're going to teach them about night vision. You're going to tell them they got to go buy firearms. And that's, I mean, at a very, very surface level, that's a good place to start. But it gets way deeper than that, you guys. It really does. It's something that I think if you're somebody like myself who's spent enough time in this community, you maybe start to feel there's like a sense of almost like an inadequacy, like what you're doing is not enough. Not that you can't, and I'm not talking about like on the range, like your range performance, your standards, right? Your shooting is not there, but that there just isn't, there's a feeling that you can bring more to those around you and you can be better for your community than you're being. And that's not a dig. It's not like, oh, I'm a piece of shit because I'm not doing enough, which that's the attitude a lot of people take. I saw somebody shared on their Instagram story recently about somebody making a post criticizing businesses for not being more supportive of those who are impacted by Hurricane Helene down in North Carolina. And, oh, you know, you exist in this community, you make your money off this community, but you're not willing to give back to this community, and you're a piece of crap business because of that. And that's a really, really complex issue. But when we talk about giving back to community, it goes a lot of different ways. And I'm really going to do my best here to kind of share my thoughts, right? Share my feelings around how you can, from a multitude of different approaches, right? Go ahead and address that, because we all come from different walks of life. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. We have different goals and desires. And that's that like melting pot effect, right? Not to get too like, you know, seventh grade social studies here on it as I crack open a Canada Dry ginger ale, because this stuff is amazing. It's like crack. I love it. But because of that melting pot effect that makes America what it is, it also makes the 2A community what it is here. And there's a lot to it. There's a lot to be said, and I think there's a lot of things that need to be said and realized. So we're going to dig into, all of it in this discussion. I'm going to be real, real with you guys. I don't do these a ton. A lot of times when I have these kinds of, emotionally driven topics where it's just me pontificating about my thoughts and my feelings based off of my own experiences, whether it's out in the community, in the real world, within my training group, right? I draw from my own experiences to form these thoughts and stuff. You know, I usually put this stuff out on our Patreon, and I'm going to, shameless plug here. If you guys are looking for a good way to support us, patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. So we are, working hard now. We are on a weekly, if not sooner, cadence. We're putting up at least one, exclusive episode or video out on the Patreon page. We also do blog posts and articles. We have drills and targets and things like that that I upload there. So if you guys are looking for an extra way to support us, or if you're looking for additional access to information, the Patreon is fantastic. And if you enjoyed this episode that we're going to get into today, it's a great place for you to get access to topics like that, because I do a whole heck of a lot of it out there on the Patreon. And before I get into any more of this, because I'm revved up, guys. I'm ready to go on this one. I want to talk about our partners. I want to talk about the companies that we're fortunate to work with in this community, in this ecosystem. Some people prefer the term ecosystem, right? I want to talk about our partners that make this podcast possible. And I'm going to start with our good friends at Custom Night Vision. You guys, their website, you can go check out everything they got going on, is customnightvision.com. And they are a great one-stop shop for all things night vision. If you are looking to either get into night vision, or even if you already have like a PVS-14, you already got a helmet, you already got a mount, maybe you're just looking for that one little piece, like a Microbat Systems counterweight pouch. John just picked up one of those from the guys over at Custom Night Vision. Great resource there. If you're looking for a helmet, they stock Team Wendy. They have lasers, they have lights, all kinds of good stuff. But if you are looking to get into night vision, or even upgrade your night vision, I cannot think of anybody I would rather send people to, not just because they partner with us, but because my experience as a customer with them from a pricing standpoint and a customer experience standpoint was so fantastic. And that's why we started working with them. So you can head on over to customnightvision.com. If you have questions, they have a chat function built into the lower right-hand corner of the website. You can actually send a message and talk to Kevin, Ben, Trevor, the whole, the guys, the team at Custom Night Vision, and ask their questions. Do I really need to save up my pennies and scrape all my, extra cash together to get bino housings, or am I going to be okay with a monocular? And the reality is, honestly, for people who are really trying to make it work, monocular housings are absolutely outstanding. The PVS-14 or even the new RVM-14 made by AB Night Vision, which is an American company. And if you guys aren't familiar with AB, they make absolute tanks for night vision. So the RNVGs that you see a lot of people running, those things are just bulletproof. We actually upgraded Josh. He had a PVS-14 that was a green phosphor Elbit tube. It's a pretty good housing, right? Pretty good tube. We actually swapped him from that single tube into a set of the RNVG dual tubes. So all kinds of good stuff from AB Night Vision and other companies like Nocturne Industries, like Lowlight Innovations, like Acton Black, all available. Again, the website is customnightvision.com. You guys head on over to the website, check it all out for yourselves. And we're getting to, we're getting to the holidays. Pick yourself up something nice, because, come on, you guys deserve nice things. Also want to say a thank you to our friends, our good friends over at 100 Concepts, you guys. Their website is 100concepts.com. So whether you're in need of some light caps, some scope caps, because let's face it, reflection is a total killer out in the field. And if you are looking to be more effective with your field craft, that's a great, great place to start. Scope caps, light caps, or if you need anti-reflective devices, maybe you're in the Army, maybe you're in law enforcement or some kind of private sector security or contracting, head on over to 100concepts.com. You can check out their Hex Cap and Pro Scope Cap series. So if you need that beehive anti-reflective pattern, they have a ton of solutions, and they are always releasing more options for the Hex Cap line. They make great pack scrim, helmet scrim. They have an outstanding chem light kit. If you're somebody who's running night vision, law enforcement, military, you need to keep your chem lights safe from the outside light. Awesome solutions, you guys. Tremendous company. Just a bunch of really, really rad dudes doing a bunch of really amazing work. Again, 100concepts.com. Encourage you guys to go check out the website and grab some gear for yourself today. because you deserve nice things. And I won't, and I'm not going to stop saying that. We all deserve nice stuff. Sometimes I am more apprehensive, about spending my money than a lot of people. So I get it, but yeah, go pick yourself up something nice. Check out 100 Concepts, check out Custom Night Vision, get yourself something nice going into the holidays. And keep an eye on both of those sites. They both do pretty decent sales for the holiday season, and you know, save yourself some coin, or maybe save yourself from the wrath of your spouse if you're looking to make a large purchase. But I digress. This week, like I said, we're getting into community, getting in where you fit in, and this is something that I am pretty passionate about. I get pretty emotional about it, honestly, because if we go back to 2020, actually, we were just talking about, you know, election night and everything, and we were all on lockdown, right, at 2020, because in March, if we think back, right, we were sent home from work, middle of March, told it was going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We all remember all of that. We don't have to get super far into it, but that was, you know, I sat home for a couple of weeks, oh, man, you know, we're going to be home a while. After we passed that 2 weeks, and they said it doesn't look like, you know, work told me, we are just going to leave everybody at home until we have a better idea what's going on. I go, man, well, I better buckle up for the long haul, you know? So I started thinking about what I wanted to do with my time. Everyone was starting side hustles. People were making masks for side hustles. People were starting companies in the 2A space, right? We had a bunch of people pop up as, I don't know, night vision companies, nylon companies, a bunch of which have since gone inactive, gone under, whatever term have you. But luckily, we have not. But it was about April of 2020 when I was sitting out at a bonfire in my backyard and just thinking like, hey, I could do something. I could be impactful. Like, I have a passion. At the time, I was not where I am now. I was so much less capable. It's actually laughable. Than what I am now. And I remember thinking that there's a way I can do this. I can fulfill the need that I feel for myself and also give to the community around me. I didn't feel that I had necessarily a ton to share, because like I said, my capability was way less then. But I wanted to find, I felt within myself that there was a way that I could do this. So that's where we launched the podcast. At the time, it was me and a buddy. And hey, we're going to do this. We're going to stand this up. We're going to give it a shot. If, you know, in the first 6 months or whatever, we can't make this work, then we'll pull the plug on it. That didn't obviously end up being the case. So when I was trying to figure this out and find out where I fit into everything, knowing that I had this feeling, but not being able to completely articulate where it was that I knew I could be myself and be impactful here. You spend a lot of time thinking, right? You know, and that's aside from like, ooh, what are we going to call it? What are we going to do? What is this? What is this? What is that? Right. Was trying to figure this all out because I didn't have that background. I thought that at the beginning, I was like, oh man, I have to surround myself with people who have quote unquote that background. So if you guys remember Sam, I still talk to Sam. He's still a friend, just busy doing other life things. Sam has the military background that I thought that at the time I really needed to be listened to be considered relevant. And it's so far from the truth, you guys. If you have something to share, it's completely irrelevant what your background is. Now, you do have to make some extra considerations because of that, which is kind of aside the point here. I don't want to get too far from what I want to talk about. But I knew that I could be a little bit different and I could still offer myself as a resource. I wanted to learn. I wanted to talk to people. And I also remember how awkward I felt. I think I remember being awkward walking into training classes. I remember feeling awkward and out of place at gun shops because there were things I didn't know. I didn't really want to talk to anybody about it because I didn't necessarily trust people behind the gun store counter. I'd heard on YouTube and Instagram wasn't even, well, Instagram was a thing in 2020, but before that, Instagram really wasn't a thing. And we were still, you know, trying to figure out, you know, where the gun community was really going to set its roots, which I think it's social media has kind of picked Instagram for now, regardless of if it's picked us back or not. But how I could fit in and help serve my community was to take away some of that burden, that awkwardness that people felt. So I can relate to a lot of people that were new and didn't know and had questions and wanted to talk about these things and didn't just want somebody with this, you know, laundry list military resume. And those people are great. And I took a lot of inspiration from similar podcasts that fit that description because I love listening to that stuff. And I would take notes sometimes and I'm going to go back and I'm going to look this up, or I was listening at the gym and I would Google it. But I knew that, like, I knew that feeling. I go, should I know this? Because they say it so matter of factly, like it's something that, you know, oh, I should know what that acronym stands for. I should know what this means. I should know what that means. And I didn't. So I at one point in time felt incredibly silly, like I wasn't doing enough to be educated. So I kind of tried to capture that feeling and use that as like my purpose of how I was going to drive things forward. Right now, why this is important is because it shaped everything that I have done to try and help my community. Community is super important, you guys. And as we talk about the election, as we talk about our country, our culture, right, which we've done a number of times here on the podcast, it's not just the 2A culture that we need to be concerned with. Because a lot of people, when we say we need to talk about community, a lot of people, when we say we need to talk about culture, are only thinking about it with, they're thinking about with the blinders on. They're only thinking about it in the context of, we need people in our community to stop buying, you know, XYZ manufacturers' guns because they're cheap. They're garbage, and we need to encourage people to get away from that. We need to stop getting, you know, we need to stop people from buying, you know, 123 companies' steel armor because steel armor is trash, which it is. But those are discussions that are had by everybody all over the place on Facebook. Yes, Facebook is still a thing. Instagram, YouTube, Reddit, it's all over the place addressing the issues in terms of, you know, gear and what brand of shit you should buy and everything. But how can you make your community better? And I think really, if you want to see your community around you prosper, you cannot think of it as like a clear line of delineation. It's not black and white. It's not the black area on this map is where all the gun people are. And then you have a clear border and all the white areas is where non-gun people are. And it's not. The world is formed in and exists in shades of gray. That's the best way I can put it. So you have, you know, you have the darker gray areas, gun ownership. You have the super light areas that maybe are no gun ownership in this example, right? And then you have a whole slew of in between there, you know? So when we talk about trying to get in where you fit in and building your community, I think there are more gaps and more needs than people want to admit and that people want to give credit for. You know, something that I think a lot of people look into is, this is a great example we can start here, is training classes. You know, hey, go to your local shop, take training classes, but then you're only allowed to look at what's at your immediate disposal. Otherwise, you have to go travel far and wide to whatever, you know, whatever training class, whatever training company. Oh, you got to go out of the state. You got to drive 4 hours away. Maybe you live in a large state. You know, Michigan, you can pretty much cover end to end in about 5-6 hours. We're a decent-sized state. We're not Texas, we're not California, but we're a decent-sized state. But, okay, so if somebody doesn't want to drive 4 to 6 hours and pay for a hotel room, that's something, that's a reservation. That's something that, you know, when I was looking at classes, I was like, man, I really, that's what I have to do. I got to drive down to Ohio somewhere to take a class, because that's just all, I have to drive 4 hours or 3 hours north of me to get to, you know, this facility that offers classes. And even at then, I don't know any of the people that are going to those facilities. So one of the things, and this is, it's a thankless thing sometimes it's full of thanks, but it's not the reason you do it. You can utilize your skill sets outside of pulling a trigger. The community has so many people, I think, that want to be the next great instructor. They want to be the next great influencer that is teaching you how to run a gun quickly, is telling you that you shouldn't use tall optic mounts, is telling you that you should only buy Surefire and EOTech. And that's not, I mean, fine. If you like all those brands, like, that's totally cool. I love all those brands and I love tall optic mounts. But we have developed an overdeveloped population of those kinds of people. Everybody wants to do the cool, sexy stuff. Because with the cool, sexy stuff comes things like, assumedly, comes things like free gear. Oh, cool, this company will see that I know how to run a gun and they'll send me a free rifle. You hope. Or I'll get an ammo sponsor. you hope, or that, you know what I mean? Or people will want to connect with me and go shoot with me and respect me and be in awe of my ability to do the things quickly. And if it's, and here's the thing, I'm not trying to be discouraging with this. I really am not. If you're somebody that wants to be recognized for your talents, maybe, and maybe you are a great shooter. Maybe you're the best shooter in your group of friends and you're looking for a way to get even better beyond that. Then that's awesome. Then chase that. But understand that you have to be truly exceptional. Being good, being a big fish in a small pond is just that. You're in a small pond and you have to set a higher standard for yourself. But if that's not your thing, if being an okay shooter or being a proficient shooter, while working on it, right, but it's not really your passion, it's not the thing that gets you fired up, maybe your skill set lies in other places. A good example is what I spent my day today doing. This is where I have found myself fitting into the community more often than not. It's not something that I necessarily wanted to do when I first started this. It's not where I see myself, you know, future state, like, oh yeah, great. But getting contacted by friends from out of state, hey, we want to come up and host a class here. We want to do this. Can you help us find a facility? We want to hold this class for this amount of time, you know, 1 day, 2 day, whatever, this many people. Can you help us find a range? I know you and your guys train a lot. You put videos up and stuff. It would be great. Can you help us put some things together? Yeah. And that, I mean, maybe that's because of how my brain works. Maybe it's because of what I do for a living and where my skills are just naturally developed. Hey, I'll chase a lead down, and then you get a rejection from that lead. So, you know, being as I am in my profession and in my career, I hate being the one that goes back with well, that didn't work. Because when you go to somebody and say, well, that didn't work, and this is what we encounter all over our community, is people are constantly looking for someone to do it for them. Do the things for me. Schedule the class for me. Just tell me where to go. Just tell me who to pay and where to go. And for that reason, a lot of people never actually get out of their bubble to go seek out training. Well, I'm not driving 6 to 8 hours and paying $600 in a hotel bill plus. And hey, I can't fault you for that, man. That's a lot of money. The economy sucks right now for all of us. But what else can you do to address that? You can bring training to you. And here's the problem with it, is it's a long haul, man. If you're talking to me today about setting up training and setting up a class, and it's not just for you, right? Because how many people come into a class? It's usually 12 to 16, right? So you're doing this for potentially you, right? And then 15 other people, not even your 15 of your closest friends, because it's an open enrollment deal, but you're doing this for your community. You're investing your time. You're expending your own energy and effort and resources for your community. And that, to me, is huge. So when you can look at it and say, hey, I couldn't get this facility, I'm going to gather a list of other ones in the area until I find one that works for price, for what's needed, for what days and times and hours and everything that is necessary to complete whatever goal it is. And that's a skill set. Because I'll tell you what, guys, there's a lot of people that could not be bothered to do. I mean, it's a series of Google searches. I'm very list oriented, so maybe it's an Excel spreadsheet of here's the facility, here's the, you know, if it's indoor or outdoor, here's the contact information, here's the distance from, you know, whatever other facility you're going to be training at, or maybe it's a hotel for the instructor, so you can map these things out, and then you can list, you know, costs, so you can do an actual analysis and compare it. That's not everybody's cup of tea. Just like doing white paper assessments on gear. You know, I think I always find it funny when I watch, I'll periodically go back and watch Jared's video from Orion Training Group talking about the FCPC and how he did a white paper for Faro Concepts and they really liked it because he's good at writing things. And I chuckle because some people probably listened to that and were like, oh, that's pretty gay. And it's like, well, okay, maybe. But people who are good at writing things, that's a skill. You know what that is? That's marketable. So if you're listening to this wondering why you don't have a better job in the world, it's because you don't have enough marketable skills like writing things. But I digress. So maybe that's where get in and where you fit in and how you can help get in that area, in that niche, if you will, right? And impact your community. Because here's the thing. It's not about the accolades and like, the, you know, the pats on the backs and the attaboys and the attention and everything. It's about building community. Building community is not, hey, everybody, come to the range with me so I can tell you how to shoot better and I can tell you what we need to do and I can tell you what this influencer told me to do. No, I don't know them, but they told me this and I like them, so I'm going to tell you it's the only right way. That's not, I mean, getting people out to like the range is a great, it's a grand effort. It really is. Sometimes what people are looking for is just a friendly hand on the shoulder, like a friendly nudge, like, hey, man, let's go out to the range together. I know you know, oh, this overly physical stuff ain't your bag, and I know you're not, you know, really experienced in shooting and moving and all, but let's get out there. Like, hey, that can mean a lot. It can. I don't mean it to sound derogatory, but what I'm trying to point out is that you have some people that are just, they're very self-focused, and they're not aware of what's going on in their community and what their community needs. I can tell you guys, honestly, I spent several months organizing and trying to coordinate to get Jared and Jason up here last year for the class that we all took. It's this year. It feels like last year, Jesus. So I started that effort last year. The class was this year in May. That took a lot. And there was, you know, talking to people, promoting people, and a lot of great things came from it. But it all was to the greater purpose and good of community. Because you know what happened after Jared and Jason left is we kept practicing. We kept our training. So every week, and you guys are listening to this, if you're in the Southeast Michigan area, like, I'm like not paid, not sponsored, not whatever. I don't get any compensation for this, but we go to Battlefield CQB. It's a tremendous facility. It's actually a laser tag arena, in Westland. And we go there every Thursday night, like 8:30. And we will teach people that want to learn. We'll share what we learned in class. And if people want to build off of that and build into teamwork and things like that, then that's what we do. And that's community growth. That's community building. And that's not just me patting myself on the back. The owners of that facility, they realize that's how they can give back to the community. Hey, we can open up our facility. They don't charge us for that practice time. They can open their doors and allow people to come in and come train there and come learn there and build community, build camaraderie. And that's the way that they fit into the community. That's the way that they fit in to make the people around them better. It doesn't require, you know, some weird long law enforcement resume or military resume or a patch on a sleeve or whatever, you know, company's gear or brand or a YouTube channel with thousands and thousands of subscribers telling you how to live your life. Not that any of those things are necessarily bad or unhelpful. Sorry. None of those things are unhelpful, but that's not the point. I think we get really two-dimensional when we talk about how to affect the community, how to impact the community from a cultural standpoint, from an educational standpoint. You know, sometimes just being the guy there that just shows up, that can be a real benefit, honestly. Hey man, I'm here. I'm putting in the effort. I'm getting better and I'm contributing. And you may find that you find something just from that alone, but just attending it shows the people around you that there are others like you or like them, right? That want to do the things that you're doing. Just showing up sometimes can reinforce the feeling that other people have. Cause you know, it's always a weird thing if you show up to a class or a training event and only like two other people are there and you're like, oh, this feels kind of weird. I'm not going to come back here cause this really isn't a good thing. Just be willing to show up, be willing to learn, or maybe be willing to just show up and support the homies. Sometimes it goes a long way, man. And whether that's you teaching or sharing what you've learned in classes that you've taken, I have a buddy, Nick, that has taken entirely too many classes, and we joke about it all the time. And he shows up when I try to help people at the Thursday night sessions, and he participates. He's learned a bunch. He's learned most of this stuff. He's learned it in different ways and things. He's not there to correct me or whatever. He's just there to support. And sometimes that is tremendous because you see that people that have done stuff like this before showing up. It is a sign to people who are still learning that this is a collaborative process and it's a never ending cycle. Because I think some people get the idea too that, hey man, once I attend this class and this class and this class and then this class twice because I sucked at it the first time, once I get my punch card all done, I can do all the things. I'm now a great success. And No, it's a never-ending progression, you know? And by doing that, it shows people around you that don't have the experience that you have, that don't have the skill sets that you've built, that desire to go through the things that you've gone through, right? That it is okay. Like, everyone starts at some point, and that you don't stop. And it's not about respect. It's not about recognition or, you know, certificates in a binder that you print off or special challenge coins or whatever. It's about collaboration. It's about community and coming together for what's better. And you don't, to be clear, you don't have to be somebody with a special operations background, whether that's, you know, police, SRT, special operations. I've heard it referred to that way, right? Or military special operations background, or you don't have to be a ranger. You don't have to have military background. You can just be a dedicated and devoted civilian, and you can contribute in so many ways. Like I was talking about, just find a place so that you can bring a class here. That will do so much more for the people around you than you can probably understand. Because there's probably, for every time that you may have sat there and thought, like, yeah, I would really like to do this, but I can't. I don't know if there's ever a way that I'm going to be able to get those people here to me, or I'm ever going to get access to that kind of information and to that kind of training. You know, like, anytime you've thought of that, there's probably at least 10 people within driving distance to you that have also had that same thought, and you can help alleviate that concern and that stress by just trying to help. Or maybe it's just showing up to your local range, be willing to help people, being able, like, this is something where, ironically, for somebody who talks so much during a podcast, I, in public, man, I am an extreme, extreme introvert. And people who really know me know that it's not my thing. Like, I don't like large crowds. I don't like going out and partying at the bar and stuff like that. Drinking aside, like, I just don't like crowds. I'm very much an introvert. I'm not going to be the guy at the range to walk up to somebody and introduce myself and have a conversation with them. Like, I see people at the gym, and even at the gun range, they have the shirts you would look for. Like, hey, I saw a guy at the range a couple weeks ago, took a Friday off, went out to go zero some optics at 100 yards with John and Josh. Had a guy pull up to the gate as we were trying to get in. The range had lost power, right? And he was wearing an SRT shirt, so Special Response Team, or SWAT team for law enforcement of the city I live in. And I just let it go. I should have gotten out of the car and been like, hey, man, I just can ask you about your shirt. You know, I live there. Can you talk to me a little bit? What's your name? And it would have been really cool. Probably would have been really a cool opportunity. And that's where I fall short. I am just not... I'm not outgoing. I don't have that personality. And I don't know if there's probably some psychological explanation behind that, why some people are more extroverted and some are more introverted. Maybe it was because I talked too much as a child. And this is funny. I had this conversation too last night with a friend, and you know, it's funny that it's the way people turn out. Maybe, you know, you talk too much as a kid, your parents yell at you for talking too much, or at least mine did. And then as you get older, you don't like talking to people anymore. I don't know if that's like a trauma response or what, but I digress. So when we're talking about how you can give back to your community, maybe that's just volunteering what you do have and have access to. Hey, I work at a warehouse, guys. I'm a manager. I'm a supervisor at a warehouse. We could do CQB practice in here. I can talk to the superiors. I can set up some basic safety checks and things, but I have access to this facility and we can come in here and we can work on those things. Or we can come in and we can host a medical class in here. We have a big open space. It's a warehouse. It's nothing glamorous, but all we need are some folding tables and chairs, and it's a venue now to host classes. I'll tell you guys, that's a huge thing in this community, is just giving people opportunity is the biggest thing. And maybe that's indicative of our, not even just like the gun culture proper, right? But just culture in general, is that people are not willing to work for it. And what I mean is not like they're not willing to work for money or willing to work for things, but they're not willing to say, hey, this is my problem. How can I solve it? They want the easiest solution. And I get it, because it can seem like an insurmountable task sometimes. It really can. And you know what? Maybe that means that if you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, you can't see the forest through the trees, whatever, you know, phrase or goofy shit you want to say, like, then maybe that's how you know that that's not how you can best help the people around you. maybe coordination is where you help out. Maybe helping people on the range really is your gift for shooting and training. I think that some people think it's their gift and it's not because of the allure that comes with it. And the same thing, you know, with organizing charity events, organizing classes and things like that. There's always a way to do it that's going to best help impact your community. And then you can kind of tell when some people are doing it for the wrong reasons. So we always need to be, you know, aware that that can be a thing. And hopefully it's not, right? But there's a lot of ways you can help out, whether that's offering to take friends to, you know, some kind of state land for the first time. Hey, I have this great training area. You seem like you want to learn how to do this stuff. I can show you this space. Like that's a huge thing. That helps people. Whether you can contribute to online discussions and positive reinforcement, you can help in that regard. It doesn't always have to be about pulling the triggers. And I understand that's probably going to be really, really upsetting for some people because you want to be respected as an expert in the things, and the things that we usually want to be well regarded in is how to run night vision and lasers and shooting and optics and calibers and all this stuff. And I know there are those people out there to like ad nauseum. There are those people out there that they like, they even get the slightest whiff that you may be somebody who is interested in it, and they think they're doing a community service by getting all up in your grill and explaining this to you. To me, it's a more measured approach. Maybe it's because I'm introverted and I try to be very reined in when I do that stuff. But how can I give back to the community? Well, you can raise money. Okay, hey, we have a local range that is a DNR range or a local facility or something that it costs money to maintain and upkeep, but we want to have access here. Cool. Maybe you can bring back some stuff that you learned at a class and say, hey, I would like to help share this. Here's like, you can be the one that goes, I had somebody reach out. This is a great example too. Because we have our Thursday night sessions at Battlefield CQB. I had somebody reach out to me and say, hey man, we actually have, I think it was an airsoft field is what they said. We have an airsoft field that's opening near us. Me and my guys would like to be able to do what you all do, where you get to practice and go train once a week, and you can build a community and build some culture around that. You can help share what you know. Do you have any advice? Do you have any tips? And for one, let me just say, like, that's super cool. When you know that when you can see that what you're doing is impacting those around you, and mind you, this person, I'm pretty sure they're in Florida. I could be wrong. You know who you are if you're listening to this. And so feel free to DM me and correct me if I got it wrong. I think they're in Florida. I'm in Michigan. To give you guys a rough geographic idea, that's a long way away. So not like somebody down the street who's trying to do the same thing that I've done or am able to do. So it's cool when people see that and go, we want to do that. We've wanted to do that. You were able to find a way to make it happen. How did that come to be? And you know, and I gave him the story. I gave him the information. Like, hey man, full disclosure, I can't take credit for all of it. The staff at BFCQB is outstanding. They were actually doing Thursday night combative sessions and training before we showed up and before the Orion Training Group class. Now that said, that doesn't mean that because you have a new facility, like that you can't also have that. But come to people with solutions. Nobody wants somebody that's going to come to them with more problems. Hey, we want to do this. Well, here's our concerns. And now nobody, you know, the facility's not going to want to solve it. They're opening a new business. They don't have time to solve your problems. So how can you do it? And if everybody in your group, right, your training group sits there and says, I'll wait for somebody else to do it, it never gets done. So take the lead. So be a little bit proactive with it. And some of the advice that I offered this individual was, okay, so here's your bases that you should probably look to cover is put together a small presentation, explain in detail, probably better to do this in person and not in email, but explain in person and in detail what you're trying to achieve and why it's beneficial. And then also put together some of the things that will help address concerns that a business owner might have. So that's, you know, whether you're trying to go to a local gun range to get, you know, USPSA practice in after hours, or you're going to an airsoft facility to do CQB training, right? What are their concerns? Number one, for any business owner, is going to be liability. So address the liability. Hey, we're going to do safety checks in two forms. We're going to have, you know, at least one person at all times who's here, who's trained in medical. And we're also going to have, you know, this first aid kit with these supplies, whatever. We've also identified this building or hospital or urgent care as the closest emergency medicine facility. Here's the address, and we're going to stage a vehicle in this condition, this way, every time we're here. So in the odd event that something does happen, somebody does get hurt, here's what we have, and here's how we're going to handle it to make sure that nothing, you know, catastrophically terrible happens. And then next, you need to be able to spell out and provide at least a framework or a structure for how you're going to handle this, who's going to be in charge, how you're going to coordinate it, what that person's credentials are. And from there, maybe, you know, and from there, that's where you start having the discussion. Is this individual, is this business willing to be that kind of a business? Are they willing to participate in the community in that way? And not all businesses are. The sad part is that there are some people in this community who literally are just out for a cash grab. Yep, we want to run an indoor range and we want to sell guns and accessories to people. And then we want to charge exorbitant amount of money for the range time because that's just what we're here to do. And no, we're not going to donate to anything. No, we're not going to, you know, contribute to any higher causes or greater. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, different strokes makes the world go round or something like that, or takes all kinds to make a world or something like that. Right. So that's fine. If that fails, then the difference maker is what you do with that failure. Is there more information? Did it fail because you didn't have enough information? Right. Or did it fail because that person's just not interested in doing it? Either could be the case, but you can't control that. What you can control, right, is what you do after. So if the answer is no, was it a no because you didn't have enough information? Is it a no because your presentation didn't check the right boxes for that concerned business owner? Because maybe that's the case, right? Or is it a no because the business just isn't interested? And if they're not interested, then move on to the next place and apply the same strategy. It's a sound strategy. And some people are better than others. If you have a fear of public speaking and you have no organizational skills and you're just one of those people who also can't speak more than 3 to 5 words without saying fuck, you're probably not the best and most professional representation of your overall effort. And again, that's fine. I'm not trying to be overly critical here, guys, but you just got to know where your skills are at. And then maybe your one buddy, he can't shoot worth a shit. He's uncoordinated as hell. He's got the weird gear and the odd camo and he's a good dude, but everyone just kind of looks at him funny. But maybe he could sell, you know, ice to an Eskimo. Cool. Maybe that's your public relations person. It's going to help you guys secure training facilities and get opportunities and get the community as a whole, right, to accept people like you coming in there to train. It's a thing, you know. I've had people tell me businesses like laser tag facilities don't always get the best and most warm of reception from the community. They get messages, they get phone calls, they get people that stop in and tell them that they're contributing to school shooting, that they're making the problems worse just by existing. It is a culture war in a lot of ways, and it's about building community and reaffirming to the existing community around you, both Second Amendment and otherwise, that you're there to do good, that you're there to help. And now when you start to put this kind of stuff in the context that I just did, me tell that story, talk about trying to proposition businesses, right, to allow you to come in and train, and it's not an airsoft facility, maybe you just have an inn at a warehouse or a large store that has, like, you know, strong ties to the community or something like that, or maybe, you know, the owner is very pro 2A, pro firearm, but has never really looked into maybe like the kind of training or something you're talking about, or somebody you know with a lot of land that you want to come out and use their land to practice small unit movement. Hey, we want to come out here. We're going to be in full kit, our full, you know, regalia and everything. And we're going to be doing small unit movement. We're going to be out here. Like, we're not going to bring any ammo. You'd be surprised how many people, if you can just explain to them and show them that you're going to be doing these things and doing them safely, how receptive people are to helping you. Maybe that's where your skills fit in. This is what I'm saying, is that there's a ton of people out here who can go learn how to pull triggers. There's a ton of people who can be an asshole and tell you about why you're doing things wrong. we don't, in this community, need anybody else right now to fill those roles. We really don't. Now, if you're exceptional and you're very talented and you're a passionate educator or a passionate shooter, I'm not sitting here telling you that you can't help contribute in those ways. What I'm saying is that I want people to understand that doesn't have to be the only way. I think we're very closed off to it, honestly. I think, you know, if you, and again, these are just my thoughts and feelings. So I keep saying, like, and I catch myself doing this stuff. I think. It's just my opinion. You know, I have the benefit of a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I have the benefit of, after I finish these recordings, I get to have some very candid discussions with some people that are very well connected within the industry, whether that's the training industry, whether that's in advertising and marketing, or something else. You know, I could tell you guys some stories. I'm not going to, but I could tell you some stories that would, about some fairly prominent figures that would probably have you guys split your wig. Like, no way, there's no way that's true. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's just, it is the way it is. So I have a fairly unique perspective compared to your average bear, but that doesn't matter. You don't need that to be effective and to be impactful in this way. The things that we need in this community, A, is we need to be more accepting of each other. 110%. You need to be more accepting of people and understand that everyone's built a little bit different. One of the things that I hate the most, people will talk about how much they want to build community, how much they want to build the men around them, how much they desire and yearn for a brotherhood. And then as at this, the first crossroads, if you will, right? The first instance of adversity, nope, I shut down and I'm not about it anymore. I'm going to go back to hanging out with just my buddies. And I'm going to hang out with them and them only. And you, instead of taking steps forward, as soon as the journey becomes difficult, you basically quit. You turn around, you go back to square one, and you commit to starting all over again. And it's a self-fulfilling and self-defeating prophecy, which is, again, just hilarious because you saw for a while, and it hasn't come up in a while, which means that it probably will in the next few weeks show up in the news cycle of Instagram again, is these posts of calling out where you're from so people can connect with each other and build training groups and form networks and things. It was very popular for a very long time. Like 2 years ago, I think, was when I really took advantage. That's when I connected with Josh and Randy and Steve, my buddies that we all have kind of been training with for the last couple of years here. That's how we all connected. It was through a Josh Lowry post, not so shortly before they formed Dirty Civilian. But people will sit there and say, how do I find people around me? How will I form a group? How will I do what you have done? But they won't do the things that we've done to get there. Like, yeah, not everybody is going to be exactly the same. They're not all going to have I don't want to say pipe hitter mentality, because that sounds super cringy, but that aggressive alpha male meat eater personality. Some guys are just goofy, man, and that's fine. Like, as long, if you can get past that and just focus on, hey, maybe they're just a goofy dude. Believe me, ask anybody who's been in the military or people have got, you know, like people are weird. There are some people who have absolutely done just outstanding things in this world in terms of being a war fighter, being a soldier, being a Marine, an airman, whatever. And when you get them outside the context of the battlefield or the range or training, whatever, they're some of the goofiest people alive. My wife has her best friend, who's dating a guy, former Ranger. One of the goofiest dudes I've ever met. I am sure that once he flips that switch, man, he's good to go. Personalities, they're all different, right? So if you quit at the first sign of adversity, like that in itself is a huge problem. And maybe if you're somebody, you're just a good motivator, and there's those people out there, again, it's not me. I've never been that way. I've opened up about this with some friends. Since childhood, I have struggled to be happy for other people. It's not that I don't want to be, but it's a human nature response and reaction, I think, to look at somebody who has what you want and to feel jealousy. That's not a bad thing that you're feeling that. I think that, and we can take it down those roads of like religion and faith and things, which we're not going to do it in this discussion, but the difference is how you deal with that feeling. But we all have that inherent feeling of jealousy. Like, You know, so to see, somebody be able to do things that you want to do. So maybe it's a, it's a sub 2 second build drill. Easy example, right? Hey, that guy, look at that. He can just run the shit out of that Glock. Like whatever it is about shooting and mechanics and grip and trigger, like that person, like they just get it, man. And I want that for myself so badly and I can't find my way there. Well, you can either be a total turd about it and just, and I've seen people do it. It's happened to me. I can't shoot a 2 second build drill because I can do some things well and somebody else can't. Then I get shut out. I'm the asshole because I was successful. It's jealousy. It's human nature. I struggle with that. Now, while I don't go out of my way to be a complete turd to people when they have success in their life, that could be anything. When they make a good, when they make a large purchase for themselves. Oh, they bought a URGI upper. It's amazing. I'm not going to be the one going, well, fuck that. I really wish I had it. Screw them and their, you know, spending problem. Like, no, you know, that's not that. A, that doesn't indicate a spending problem. For all you know, they could have been saving for 3 years to get that. But look at people and try and be happy for them. And you can be happy without being overflowing with it, but just somebody who's a motivator, like, hey man, dude, you're doing great, man. And so John and Josh did this to me after the second day of the Orion class, actually. And I specifically, like, I don't know if I'll ever actually forget this because I just have not in my life, and I'm not trying to share a sob story or anything, but like, I haven't had that a lot in life. Very few times I can count on like one hand where I've really had a friend pull me aside and go, man, you are doing stuff, dude. Like you're doing it. If I could be doing what you were doing when you were doing it, like when I was in drumline in high school as a high school senior competing at the highest levels in the world. And then I have college people that weren't making it. College musicians, you age out at 21. These were 21 year olds that weren't able to do what I was able to do at 16 and a half and 17 years old. And sitting there going, man, if I could do what you were doing at 17, man, I would have killed for that opportunity. Like you're doing good. It just doesn't seem like it right now. When I was at the end of the second day of the Orion class, man, like I fucked up. Like I made mistakes. I didn't walk out of that day feeling especially confident in myself. I felt very overwhelmed. I felt like I'd maybe just like, I think Jared said it was your cup runneth over, right? Like you would learn so much that day. You would kind of hit a point where you were just past processing. We had it happen at the HTA 2-man CQB class we took where we had 6 people instead of 8. So we were all getting way more reps. We were moving way faster through material. And we got to a point where we were just regressing. And having that person that is just willing to sit there and say, you know, hey man, like, we're here to get better. Like we were getting better. Don't be upset about the mistakes. Mistakes and failures are part of learning and part of forward progress. So don't, it's not an excuse, but lean into that, embrace that. You know what I mean? It does that. The failure is part of success. I've never been good at that. I feel awkward when I try to be that person. I feel less than genuine. And for that reason, I'm just usually not that guy. As much as I try, and maybe I've gotten a little bit better at it over the years, but I feel fake. I feel plastic when I try to be that, that super genuine, just very happy for you individual. It's not me, and that sucks because I wish I could be that person. I'm happy to see my friends succeed. I'm happy to see them achieve the things in life that they want, achieve things in this community that they want. So whether that's making it into a reserve law enforcement role or getting a full-time gig with the National Guard, like I was happy. You know, Josh went back full-time with the Guard. He was, when he started with the podcast, he was like a regular weekend warrior at the sound of making that sound shittier than it really is. He was like working a civilian job and doing the things that we all do and stuff. And then he got the job and he was elated with the opportunity. And it's, you know, like, I don't know if, I mean, I think I said congratulations. I hope I did. Was I happy for him? Yeah. Am I good at outwardly expressing that? No, I'm really not. So people probably think that I am also one of those, just real negative people, right? Where I'm just not happy ever. I don't know. It's not where my strength is. So, and like bring it back full circle here. Everyone has something that makes them special, I guess. Your strengths are different than my strengths, and where I fit in may be different than where you fit in. You know, I'm because of the choices I've made in life, in the path that my life has taken to where I'm at today, where I spent many years after high school involved with music and being an educator and things, like I did not go into the armed services. And I have many friends that did. I've made many more friends in the past 4 years who also did. Many friends that went into law enforcement. And again, in the last 4 years or 4.5 years, many more friends who did go into law enforcement. I don't have that resume to lean on to become a trainer, to start a training company, to give back to my community in that capacity, the way many people do or try to do, sometimes to a fault, right? But when I look at what I do have, yes, I have skills developed in corporate America, communication skills, project management skills, analytics, right? And yes, as a side job that I taught for almost 20 years, right? I think 17 years, as an educator, yeah, I do consider myself to be a good educator. I take a different approach at it than some people do. That's because I have the benefit of working with high school children for 17 years rather than adults. And I really like the adult learning model. It's something that we, you know, worked with musicians, right? Is they are young adults, so you try to nurture them and treat them and help them grow in an adult way rather than hand-holding them. But I can contribute in that way. Is it the greatest way that I can contribute? I wouldn't say so. You know, maybe CQB, because that's where my great passion is, and that's where I am chasing down all these opportunities and wanting to do a lot of things. Maybe I can help share the little bit that I've learned and just give people the caveat of, hey, this doesn't, like what you're doing with me every Thursday night, that does not take the place of a real class. I highly recommend you look at somebody like Core Vision or Defender Series Training Group, or yes, Orion, and take a real class from like real educators who've done stuff out in the real world if you really want a depth of knowledge, because that's just going to be a better experience for you. But if you want to know the things that I know, I can communicate those pretty well. I do feel like I have that skill set, and that's why I go out to Battlefield every Thursday and try to make myself available and try to share the knowledge that I have, both on what I've learned in classes and also what I've been able to learn from my discussions with people that I have made connections with in our community, both through the podcast and otherwise. There's several people that I talked to who have never been on this podcast. As hard as that is for people to understand, it's not all about the podcast for me. Like, I have some pretty good relationships outside of this effort that have helped me grow as well. And that's, in some small ways, that's how those individuals are able to give back too, is over the digital media, is over digital communications. Hey, let's have a Zoom call. Hey, we can whiteboard this. We can talk through it. It's all kinds of different things. Just being willing to share is a commitment and a contribution all of its own. It just depends on how you do it, in my opinion. So to kind of like bring this thing, bring it home here, I think that the greatest effort that we have today, while we live in a world where our gun rights are constantly under attack, while we are in this transitional stage, this transcendent stage almost, right, where we are starting to see people adopt the kind of perception, right, of preparedness that I think many of you that are listening, people are finally starting to look at that and not kind of turn away at it. Like, they're looking at it less like it's tinfoil and more like, yeah, you know what, maybe that was something I should have gotten into a couple of years ago, you know, like beer league softball. A lot of people always used to look at that, oh, I should have started playing softball a few years earlier, you know, when I was younger and better shape, you know, all that stuff. Now people are looking at personal preparation like that because we saw the crap that happened on the news. And then you get in, you see what's online. It's the great thing about online communication and media is that you have an eye, you have visibility, I'm sorry. You have visibility into what other people around the country or around the world are doing. So you can see people like Drew and Josh over at Dirty Civilian and what they're doing with their training efforts. You can see guys like what we're doing here in Michigan or some of the guys out in Pennsylvania that help organize the HTA Range Day event and more, right? The list goes on. You can see what those people are doing and you suddenly see that it's a possibility. So then now as somebody who is in this community and has that desire to also experience that, now how do we grow from there? How do we, you know, suddenly it's not just a fleeting idea or a fantasy, as some people might say, right? This is a real thing. this is a skill set I'd like to learn. I live in an extremely urban neighborhood, so I want to learn this skill set, or I live out in the middle of the woods, so I need to learn how to, you know, do field craft and this and that and that. Now it's not, just the idea of it doesn't seem so far-fetched, but now I need to figure out how to make it happen, not just for me, but for my family, and maybe not even just for me and my family, but for my neighbors, the people around me who I've grown to know and grown to care about and love and make us all better together. It's not always about pulling the triggers. It's not always about, you know, laying hate to an insurgency. Like that's fine if that's how you see yourself being most effective. And there's definitely a place for that, but how else can you benefit your community? Can you be that person who has that open heart where you can take people who hate firearms and are super apprehensive about it and take them metaphorically by the hand and show them, hey, firearms are not the problem here. People like me are just more accountable and we have a greater sense of ownership and concern over how we're going to make this city or our village or our town, you know, or whatever, township, borough, whatever term you use to define the area in which your domicile resides, right? You want to see that safer. You don't want the kids there to have to worry about when they go to school. You don't want people that gather at nightclubs or shopping malls or movie theaters to have to be even remotely concerned for their safety. These are steps towards a greater position of preparedness and safety. And you're that right there, the people who are able to articulate those thoughts and communicate and bridge with the community and make connections with elected city leadership, those are the real unicorns. Because you have to be really well spoken, you have to really know what you're talking about, and you have to have a passion for doing it. The problem with that is that sounds an awful lot like a politician. And as I was saying, I even started, you know, feeling in the back of my mind a little bit like, ugh, yeah, we're entering political territory now. So it's a complex issue. It's good because there's so many ways that we can all contribute. If you like radios and you're great with science and you're great with math, hey, I have news for you, man. Any training group anywhere would be happy to have you. Because nobody wants to learn how to do comms and radios. But here's the thing. That's probably one of the easiest and most accepted skill sets when times get weird. Look at Hurricane Helene, right? And you can be awkward. You can be a poor, like, actual verbal communicator. But if you have the skills and the will to help teach people, people will find a way to learn from you in that regard. A, because in the tactical realm, nobody wants to be the comm guy because they just don't have the capacity for learning it. It's not a knock. It's just the truth. I would say the same thing about myself. I have my ham radios, my ham radio license, and I don't want to be the radio guy. It's just not where my passion is, especially as we have, you know, so many more developments with technology and things. But look at what happened with Hurricane Helene. Are you telling me the people there wouldn't, if they saw that they could have a restored communications infrastructure because more people knew about more ways to use radios effectively and efficiently, and how to construct, you know, field expedient antennas and things more efficiently and more quickly, those people would not turn away from that, because it would help them get supplies sooner, it would help them get critical care sooner. And the problem with that approach and perspective is that if that's how people look at these skills and look at our community and what we do, you're waiting until it's too late. And at that point, you're already closed off from it. So hopefully this all makes, hopefully all of this rambling and ranting and talking about how you can contribute to the community in more ways than just by being a firearms instructor is helpful to you guys. Maybe it's inspiring. Like, I would love to hear that. I would love to know that this topic pushed you or inspired you to just on a whim reach out to a local facility or a local company, whether it's for sponsorship for an event or a charity event. Like, the HTA Range Day is fantastic. We haven't talked about it quite as much since we got back as we did last year, but, you know, those guys out there, man, you know, Dylan and Justin and the crew, and I'm leaving names off, Tyler and Colby, I think it's the four musketeers out there, so to speak. put that event together and work that event, and that was almost off of a whim. And now they draw money and bring people in and give them training opportunities, and they raised like $15,000 to give to Deliver Fund to build target packages to help combat human trafficking. And there's very little of glamour that's involved with that. Putting that event together, the coordination, the scheduling, the drama, the bullshit, the headaches, the heartaches, everything that go with it, that's a skill set right there. There's a business side to that, a project management side. I've had several conversations with Tyler. You guys might know him as Tacos Media on Instagram. And his media work is tremendous in that regard. So is his business and project planning on the HTA front, as well as the media work that he does for the community. And bringing that information to people is a skill set. So the visual medium, i.e. all the posts and bullshit that we complain about on Instagram, some of it's really, really fantastic stuff. A lot of it's not, but some of it's really fantastic stuff. People like Tyler are how we get that information. Because we have tiny, you know, lizard brains, we only stop now to really check out the really, really good, well-edited photos. And that's where people like Tyler come in, because they make the really, really good and well-edited photos. So there's a lot of ways you can positively contribute. You know, you can start a company making optic mounts. You know, shout out to the guys over at Overbore. Tyler. He's also named Tyler. It's very confusing. You know, hey, it's a better solution for people. Small-owned business. You can impact the community positively. There's a lot of ways you can contribute, you guys. It doesn't just have to be in a way which, I guess if I could sum it up, that you don't have to have somebody else tell you how you can contribute. You're not limited to somebody else's idea of what value that you provide and what value you offer. You don't have to listen to that. You don't have to believe it. And it's one of the coolest feelings. I honestly tell you, when people talk to me and have conversations, I had this happen over the summer at a social district, talking to people. I got 20 minutes, 25 minutes into a conversation before people asked, so what branch did you serve in? And they were absolutely shocked to find out that I had never served, because of how I carried myself, because of how informed I was, how educated I was. It's just shocking. And that's not that military service is some be-all, end-all, but it's cool to see that people make assumptions based off of how you carry yourself, how you present yourself, the information which you're able to share with them. It just shows you it's almost irrelevant in a lot of ways, because if you can build yourself to what you want to be, there is no limit there. There really isn't. There's only the limits which we define on ourselves. That includes how we can help our community. It includes how we limit our own development and capability growth. So, there is no limit. The limits are in place by ourselves. And if you find that you're feeling like you have this desire where you know you can do more and you aren't, and you're not sure how, then this is it. Get in where you fit in, you know, start trying to help bring training companies to your area. If there's not a lot of access, like there is in North Carolina and Tennessee, Louisiana, Texas, whatever. Here in Michigan, we don't get a shitload of that. So this, for me, it's cool when I can find that, aside from, yes, the podcast, which is great, and I love doing it, and it's my passion and my great endeavor in life, but I can also help to facilitate bringing educators here, bringing information to people, not even just to my friends, not like it's only for me and my crew. Yes, I would love to see more of my friends show up to those training events. But you can bring these opportunities to people, complete strangers who have the same goals, who have the same passion, the same desires that you do. You can be a responsible party for making that happen, or at least partially responsible for helping to make that happen. Man, it's a really, really cool feeling. And I implore everybody, like, pull on that thread, man. If you think that whatever skill set you have, whatever you're really good at, can be a positive contribution to your community, man, like, go for it. Go for it. Why not? That's my question, is what's holding you back? Because I think more often than not, you'll find that it's just your own inhibition. So I hope this was helpful for you guys. This is definitely, in complete honesty, this was not the intended topic for this week's discussion. Had a last minute cancellation. That's just how she goes sometimes. There's not always a ton that you can do about it. But you learn to pivot and figure some things out. And again, I drawn off of what I spent a lot of my day today working on in between work calls and whatnot. This is something that kind of came to me, you know, as you're working through things, as you're thinking to yourself, as you're, you know, hey, this could be like I need a better way to articulate this, like, but this could be my thing, right? This could be the thing that I'm very good at. This is how I fit in, and I could be really great at this, even if it's something that doesn't get a lot of attention, there's not a lot of shine to it, but the impact that you can create in a positive way is just absolutely astounding. That's a really cool thing, man. And I hope everybody gets the opportunity to feel that in some way, shape, or another. And yeah, I mean, that's really just it. So, thank you guys so much, honestly, for hanging out and listening to me this far. It's something that sometimes I struggle with. You know, I struggle with how to say these things the right ways and really get my point across, as I am, you know, filtering from my brain through to my mouth, but always great to have you guys in with me, listening, checking out the episodes and whatnot. Hope this was helpful. And again, I hope it was inspiring, more importantly. But that's all I got for you guys this week. Until next time, you guys, everybody stay safe out there. Things are getting weird in the world, weirder by the day, in fact. But until next time, you guys, work hard, train smarter, and as always, be prepared.